Well, tonight there's a more going on within the Anarchy Festival, or the Festival of Anarchy, that's been taking place in town now for over a week. This all leading up to the Anarchist Book Fair tomorrow. And tonight there's going to be a discussion called Anarchist Against the War, a panel discussion in public forum happening at 1710 Beaudry next to Metro Beaudry. It's a free panel discussion open to the public. Guests include Cindy Milstein, who's with the Institute for Anarchist Studies, in addition to Ashanti Alston, Anarchist Panther Zine, also with Blacks Against the War, and then Wally Rosel with the Federation Anarchiste from France, and Benoit is also going to be there, who's a member of Group Anarchiste Bête Noire, a member of NIFAC Montreal. And these folks have actually joined us in studio to give us a preview of tonight's discussion, Anarchist Against the War, and we'll begin tonight with Ashanti. I wonder if you can, by way of introduction, introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell us a bit about the communities of struggle that you're coming from, particularly about the most recent sort of campaigns of resistance that are coming out of New York City, where you're traveling from today, and what that resistance to war has looked like.
Thank you. Right now, I'm a part of an organization called Blacks Against the War. And one of the reasons that we came into existence is because in some of the anti-war mobilizations, there was problems in fully including people of color. And so folks decided then we should try to do some things on our own and but still work with other formations, but we needed to do stuff on our own. We found that with this war, I mean, there's a lot of folks in the black community who are against the war. And it was definitely different from, like, after 9/11, you know, where you had a whole lot of folks, black and Latino, who were waving flags. So there's a lot more people in our communities who are questioning the war and who, I guess, want to find some ways to express it, but they don't necessarily do it in the big marches and the demos. So we want to find some creative ways to help them to express their opposition to the war. But the other reason that we came together was because we want folks in the anti-war movement in general to understand that it's not only about this external war, it's also about this war that's always waged on people of color and poor people within the United States. So we want the two issues combined, and we want to keep that as the focus of any kind of anti-war work. So right now, that's what I'm involved with, besides some of the other formations like Critical Resistance and Estación Libre, and just mobilizing with other anarchists in general, but particularly people of color anarchists and anti-authoritarians. So we want to try to broaden it, and we want to try to deepen these struggles.
Well, let's talk about how you go about doing that in New York City. You'll be presenting at a public forum later tonight at 1710 Beaudry at 6:30. Some of the folks who will be coming there aren't necessarily coming from radical communities. Can you talk about the campaigns against war that you've engaged in, and where the participation of non-radical communities has been?
Well, we just did early April, we did a march and demo in Harlem, New York, to, like, really test, you know, just what the reception would be in terms of black people in Harlem. And those don't know, you know, like, Harlem is considered, like, the black capital, you know, in terms of people of African descent in the United States. So it was very, we thought it was very important that we do our first demonstration march there, and about, I think, about 2,000 people came out, and it was very spirited. It was very well represented, from labor to some of the more radical nationalist organizations and different women's groups. What we're trying to do and what we've been doing is, like, actually getting into communities, and one of the reasons we're doing that is because we know that a lot of times folks are passing out flyers for demos or for forums, but are not really going into communities. So our strategy is really, if we want this to work, we got to go into communities. We got to really dialogue with people. We got to really find out where people are at, and then see why people don't come to the mass demos or the mass marches, and what other methods of action they can take to show their opposition. And what we find that is, like, people are very clear that at the time that Bush is promoting this so-called war on Iraq, services are getting cut in New York City. you know, from the daycare workers to teachers to other jobs and stuff like that. They're getting cut, so there's a direct connection. So that's where we're at now. It's just the importance of getting into communities that we see.
Is much of that work that you're describing in terms of making the connections between what the issues are for these communities that you're trying to mobilize against the war, is much of that work necessary because the media doesn't talk about these issues in their war coverage? They're not making the connections? It seems so from the coverage that we've seen from the states, for sure.
Definitely the media, at least the mass media, is not making any connections. Who do make the connections is like indie media and the movement news media is like that. But we're not even relying on, like, mass media to make them. We know they're not going to do it. But it is important for us to find ways within, from the radio stations, from the independent radio station, alternative radio stations, to the alternative news sources, to get the message out through them. And it can get out.
All right. Well, moving on from New York City on to rural communities, we can talk with Cindy Milstein, who's coming from Vermont. Maybe you can introduce the community that you're coming from and talk about some of the resistance you saw realized there against Bush's most recent war in Iraq.
Yes, I am from a very different place than Ashanti. And it obviously makes work there really different. For a lot of us that have been in urban environments previous to this during other sort of upsurges in political activism, we did a lot of thinking among anarchists and anti-authoritarians on how do you bring ideas out in that are trying to make connections around capitalism and the state and sort of a new drive for empire and what's happening and connect that to the war in small town communities where people have a lot different issues because it's much more face-to-face and dialogue oriented, which I think is both good and bad. In a sense, you have to be ultra responsible because you're going to see people again the next day and day after day. On the other hand, you can really have conversations with people in a really substantive way that you can't perhaps in a bigger city. And I totally agree with Ashanti. It's all about going out and talking to people. And what's been interesting, I think, about this moment, and I always think it's very sad that it takes moments like this to make people politicized, but that huge numbers of people become suddenly both politicized, awakened, and open to being radicalized. So the presence of anarchists or anti-authoritarians or people that are pushing things a little farther than where people might normally be comfortable going, I think, are extra important during these times, at least for people to engage in the conversations. So we've done a lot of, I'm part of a collective of about 12 people, and we're organized internally democratically and meet every week and study and do writing and political work together in our community. And there are other groups like us, not so many, but a few. And so we and other anarchists and anti-authoritarians are very upfront about our politics in public space and try to create dialogue. So, for instance, in several of the pacifist peace groups do weekly vigils and stand there very quietly with signs that have American flags on them or doves. And we made several very rather large, very anarchistic-looking banners, but that tried to make the connection between capitalism and militarism, but also giving people a vision of what a better society should look like, talking about direct democracy or mutual aid, and had literature to give out, too. And we actually engaged in a dialogue with other people that were trying to resist, and I found it interesting. This is such a Vermont example. We had a big anti-capitalist banner, and I was at a vigil by myself with this banner, and I couldn't hold it by myself, and two or three people said, "Oh, can I help you hold your banner?" And I said, "Well, only if you're comfortable. It's an anti-capitalist message." And one of the women looked at me and she said, "Well, I don't think I like capitalism. I haven't thought about it a lot, but I'm happy to hold the banner with you." And then we spent an hour talking about capitalism, and all these other people came around. So we just spent the hour of the vigil discussing whether capitalism was good or bad and what it does to people and how that relates to war. And I think that's a lot of what sort of happened. More strikingly, on the larger level, besides sort of street dialogue, is there's been a lot of work done among both anarchists and non-anarchists that have opposed the war on trying to create directly democratic forums for people to express their resistance in. So the day after the war started, I hate to use that terminology because I think it's been an ongoing war, both here and abroad. But technically the day after the war started, there was a People's Assembly, which was held in actually Vermont State House, but we basically took over this room in the State House and opened it up for us to directly democratically pass some resolutions condemning what was going on, but also asking for things that people in the state would want, including not having our state eventually, and talking about both, you know, very radical kinds of things. But intriguingly, there was actually a bunch of anarchists there. The people who were most radical, who put out some of the most radical ideas, were people just sort of angry and upset and don't really conceive of themselves as sort of political people or maybe Democrats or progressives. And they were so upset by the moment. And more than us, they really believed that we could stop this war. And I think for a lot of us that understand this as part of sort of a drive to bring capitalism to the rest of the world, we weren't so convinced that no matter how great the protest was, it would actually stop what was happening. But people who really did believe it could stop became really radicalized after they realized that the whole world had almost said no, but yet it still happened. So that's some of the stuff in a way, bringing places where people can determine their own resistance. And we did another follow-up People's Assembly where people together tried to figure out forms of resistance they wanted to do and then took ownership of that, which I think is really important for people to take ownership over their own struggles, not for us as anarchists to come in and say we have the right way of doing things.
Well, what's the status of those mobilizations today in the community that you're coming from in Vermont? Is now with the occupation in Iraq, mm-hmm. do you see this, you know, still sort of political fervor happening there?
Yeah. I unfortunately think it's died down greatly. For the large bulk of people that were on the streets, they were peace activists in the sense of they conceive of a time of peace and a time of war. And now that they think the time of war is over, they don't engage in the work so much anymore, which I think is a real shame. And for other people that were more radicalized, there was one of the largest demonstrations in Vermont, probably in the state's history, in the largest city during the war. And a bunch of anti-capitalists did a breakaway march of about 1,000 people. And so many young people and other people got radicalized by that. And they said, so where can we go to do more of this? And I think now for us that are more radical, we've decided that part of the problem is there isn't any place sort of to go. If you're a radical, how do you organize? And who do you hook up with? And how do you do long-term work? And so for the sort of peace activist types, they're kind of back to they're doing good work. A lot of them do, for instance, refugee assistance work, which is really good in Vermont. And so a lot of them have gone back to that work, which is actually very, very needed right now on the Montreal, the Quebec, Vermont border. But they're less visible. But I think a lot of anarchists are now turning to, well, we need to figure out forms of organization that can allow people to remain political and visible during times when people aren't normally thinking as politically, which they should be still. It's not like anything's particularly any different. In fact, it's potentially worse for people in Iraq especially, and that we need to be still just as much a presence and connecting militarism to capitalism just as much. So right now we're trying to form some kind of anti-authoritarian confederation around Vermont to start talking about relating, for instance, free trade issues to militarism.
Cindy is going to be speaking later tonight at a panel discussion taking place at 1710 Beaudry. There are a number of people presenting, and many of them have gathered here in studio. We're actually going to speak now with Wally Rosel, who's with the Fédération Anarchiste from Paris, France. And you're going to be presenting tonight on this issue of anarchist against the war as well. There was a very large presence of people, not only just in Paris or in France, but all across Europe that took to the streets to mobilize. Maybe you can scope the dynamics for us, those who weren't there on the streets with you, who were sort of confined here in North America. What was the radical dynamics in that resistance to the war in Iraq, at least in Paris? What did it look like there?
Donc bonjour, je m'appelle Wally, effectivement, j'arrive de Paris. En Europe, globalement, le mouvement anti-guerre est un mouvement très, très profond. Il y a eu plusieurs millions de personnes qui ont manifesté et qui ont agi contre la guerre en Irak. Paradoxalement, et je vais revenir après, c'est en France où, visiblement, d'ailleurs dans la rue, le mouvement était le moins fort, même le plus faible, j'allais dire. Mais je reviendrai, c'est peut-être aussi la faute à Chirac, à notre président. Bien, enfin pas au mien, en tout cas, au président de la France. Là, j'étais en Italie fin avril, partout, encore aujourd'hui, alors que la guerre est finie entre guillemets, vous avez des drapeaux, des flags, peace, pace, partout, partout, dans les petits villages. J'étais à Venise, à Padoue, des lieux extrêmement touristiques. Sur la place Saint-Marc, la place la plus touristique de Venise, on vend des drapeaux au symbole de la paix, en italien, en anglais. Et donc c'est un mouvement très, très, très profond qu'il y a eu en Europe. Le problème est de savoir quelle est la nature de ce mouvement. C'était un mouvement, je pense, d'abord pacifiste. C'était un mouvement contre cette guerre. Était-ce un mouvement contre les Américains? Je pense pas. C'était un mouvement contre ce que représente Bush et l'impérialisme. Pas contre les États-Unis ou... en tout cas, nous, on a fait extrêmement attention à ça, à pas confondre la nature des peuples et la nature des gouvernements qui sont dehors. Quelques exemples, en Italie, en Allemagne, en Angleterre, il y a eu beaucoup de mouvements qui ne sont pas contentés de coller des affiches, distribuer des flyers, mais qui ont essayé d'arrêter des trains, qui ont essayé de combattre, par exemple, il y avait une base aérienne en Angleterre, où plusieurs fois le terrain a été envahi par des mouvements anti-guerre. Donc c'est un mouvement extrêmement profond, et personne ne sait aujourd'hui comment, par exemple, par rapport à des gouvernements comme en Espagne, Tony Blair, en Italie, Berlusconi, ou en Espagne, José Aznar, comment politiquement ça va finir pour eux. Hein. Maintenant, paradoxalement, donc en France, c'était le pays où, même si le sentiment anti-guerre était profondément ancré comme les autres pays, où dans les manifestations, il y a eu peu de personnes. Hein, peu de personnes. Pourquoi? Parce que d'un seul coup, les médias officiels, le gouvernement avaient un discours qui était quasiment le nôtre. Et donc qui a coupé l'herbe au mouvement radical pour qu'il ait beaucoup d'ampleur en termes de manifestations, de démonstrations. Ceci étant dit... Nous, donc en tant qu'anarchistes, quelle a été notre option? On a essayé, à travers ce mouvement, d'aller plus loin qu'un mouvement pacifiste. D'ailleurs, on essayait de dire, de monter un mouvement antimilitariste et anticapitaliste. Dans deux perspectives, une très, très concrète, il y a le sommet du G8 à Évian fin mai, début juin, et on plaçait les événements d'Irak dans les logiques capitalistes et militaristes de manière générale. Hein, et pas simplement Chirac était le bon pacifiste, c'est pas vrai. Le gouvernement français était extrêmement, impliqué en Irak. On le sait, hein. Et donc en fait, il avait des vues malhonnêtes. Hein. Et puis, avec d'autres, depuis très longtemps, nous sommes impliqués dans les mouvements de soutien aux travailleurs immigrés, aux sans-papiers, aux travailleurs pauvres. Et ce qu'on disait, c'est que les discours de Chirac et du gouvernement anti-guerre vis-à-vis de Bush et des mouvements et des pro-guerres. En fait, il fallait qu'il les implique aussi à l'intérieur. C'est-à-dire qu'on disait, ça ne sert à rien d'être contre la guerre en Irak, il faut être contre la guerre des pauvres en France. C'est-à-dire, il ne faut pas faire aux immigrés qui viennent de Turquie, d'Afghanistan, d'Irak, aux Kurdes, par exemple, ce qu'on reproche à Saddam ou ce qu'on reproche au gouvernement Bush. Donc, en fait, ça a été un mouvement d'ampleur très profonde à l'échelle de l'Europe. Politiquement, je ne pense pas que c'était un mouvement où l'extrême gauche est beaucoup retirée. Parce que justement, l'extrême gauche est toujours gênée vis-à-vis de l'antimilitarisme et de l'anticapitaliste. On était les seuls à agrandir le cercle et le point de vue en disant le militarisme. C'est une conséquence de la politique des gouvernements et du capitalisme. C'est pas l'inverse. Hein. Donc, je pense que globalement, c'est à peu près ce qu'on peut dire. Par contre, je pense que ça a permis de mobiliser sur des thèmes un petit peu périphériques. Et je pense que on a, à mon avis, bien préparé ce qui est en train d'arriver aujourd'hui, c'est-à-dire la grève générale. Aujourd'hui, en France, il y a des millions de personnes dans les rues. Moi, avant d'arriver ici, j'ai voté la grève générale avec mon syndicat. J'étais même ennuyé parce que on allait juste au moment où ça commence à devenir intéressant. Là, on a regardé les journaux, les grèves continuent. Il y avait le 13 mai plus de 2 millions de personnes dans les rues à Paris. Et il n'y a pas qu'en France que ça se passe. En Autriche, en Allemagne, il y a aussi des mouvements sociaux. Et donc, en fait, on a toujours élargi le point de vue de la guerre de l'Irak sur le point de vue du capitalisme et du militarisme de manière générale. Ce qui a fait que nos slogans, qui étaient plutôt bien trouvés, pour une fois, ont eu quand même une grande popularité dans la population. Hein. Et comme je travaille à Radio Libertaire, par exemple, on a senti de nouveau qu'à Radio Libertaire, il y avait des débats, il y avait beaucoup de... notamment vis-à-vis du problème palestinien. Ne pas soutenir Saddam, ne pas soutenir n'importe quoi sous prétexte qu'on est contre la politique de Bush. Ça a été très dur.
Merci beaucoup. So the opportunities for resistance to war are plenty in Paris, France. And Benoit has actually joined us here as well, also participating in tonight's discussion, Anarchist Against the War. And I'm wondering, the panelists that we've heard from who are here tonight, Ashanti, Cindy, and Wally, just speaking here from Paris, France, they're all going to be presenting tonight along this theme of Anarchist Against the War. Why do you feel it's important for people to attend this public discussion at 6:30 and hear these stories of resistance?
Well, I think what is important is that people from Montreal and from also other places in North America hear from different anarchists, individual and groups, from different tactics, and also, since it's a public forum, we're only launching a discussion which is going to last for hopefully an hour and a half, in which other anarchists from other groups or other individuals from other communities also going to participate, and also people don't identify as anarchists and are curious and want to actually make criticism or want to agree with what we say or are against. So basically, it's a way in which people can learn how concretely anarchist as form of clearly anti-authoritarian organizing and anti-capitalist, anti-state perspective can basically challenge the position of war, but not only the way that liberals in a pacifist kind of perspective and a kind of like a bad, you know, morality or, you know, just saying this is, you know, like a bad thing to do, but why it's bad, you know, and basically bring the perspective of state and capital and also authoritarian left sometimes who also try to use these movements for their own cause in their own way and basically challenge that and basically say anarchists have a way to see war and have a way to confront war, and this is what we're going to try to present and have a discussion about.
Well, you're basically giving people an opportunity to inform and educate themselves, but particularly their resistance and mobilization. How do you feel the role of people's resistance? Where is it today with the occupation in Iraq? We had seen 250,000 people on the streets in Montreal more than once in the last couple months in the early, before the war had started. We haven't seen it since. So where does that mobilization stand now that the occupation ensues? And I'm sure this will be discussed tonight as well, but perhaps you can give us a preview.
Well, the way I see it and what is really hard is that in Montreal, a lot of people felt that when the war was quote-unquote over, because it's not over, a lot of people felt, since Canada was not involved, since Canada is quote-unquote not an occupying force, that a lot of the people were like, well, we lost, and that was the feeling that we lost, and there was not much that can be done, especially on the issue of the war. However, I think a lot of people started to understand more and more, however, with the mobilization, that Canada is not really neutral. They say they're not going at war, but at the same time, they never criticized the U.S. for going at war, and at the same time, also, they had more troops than other countries that were at war against Iraq, and they were doing the war against terrorism, which is still there. So basically, I think a lot of what anarchists are trying to do and what other activists are trying to do is to link the issue of the war at home and the war abroad. And the war at home is still there, the war against our community in terms of like the aspect of like how government trying to cut on every social program, how poverty is increasing, how like there's incredible amount of discrimination, racism, and immigration practices, and how some communities are target, and how, like, basically we are, it is a class war, it is still a class war, it never stopped, and basically that war is an aspect of that, but now we see it still in our communities, and the link is to make that the occupation of Iraq is on the same grand scheme of thing, is totally linked to the same occupation, and when yuppies are taking over our neighborhoods, and when, you know, bosses are locking out employees because they want decent wages, and et cetera, et cetera. Like, these are all linked together. And this is the crucial work, which I personally think that anarchists have mostly to do, is to continue informing people, continue to propaganda, massive propaganda, to basically say, this is what's happening, and this is how we link together, and this is an anarchist perspective, and this is how we're going to fight against it. And basically that people at least know that we're here, because a lot of time, you know, anarchists go in the shadow and do their own thing, and people don't know about them. And secondly, that our means of action are also effective, and they're a way that people can be, you know, included into that and participate into that, and at least, you know, read about it and have a reflection about it. So.
Well, the public forum tonight is the exact sort of space for making that place for reflection, for discussion. The topic tonight is Anarchist Against the War. It's a public forum. It's taking place at 1710 Beaudry. That's right next to Beaudry Metro. It's happening at 6:30. It's free and open to the public. There's going to be childcare available, and the voices you've heard here will be there tonight. Thank you all very much for coming.